Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I am your host, Matt Trudell. With me, like always,
UMBC alum Alex Baker.
Yeah. Are you a UMBC?
No.
I was like, I thought you were UMUC.
Yeah. What's the difference?
What is the difference at the end of the day? I mean, I don't think you guys have a basketball team at UMUC.
We got a softball team, I think.
Oh, okay. Is it intramural or they compete on a high level?
I think they compete at some level.
All right. Well, Alex Baker. So it's just you and myself today. Sebastian is not here.
Taking a reading sabbatical.
And Jimmy is not here. So
I know you're all happy now.
Oh, I'm pumped. Yeah. But let's talk about
the brackets.
The tournament. All right.
This has definitely been, I think for me, like the best tournament so far I've seen, at least in a very long time.
This was really good. This was really good. Let me tell you something. When I was arguing with Sebastian on the text, which I told you about off air, he was talking about how, oh, Big Ten has two. It should have been three. The Big Ten's lucky it had one. Let's be honest. Michigan had to hit this crazy 3-point shot.
Yeah.
Just this crazy 3-point shot against Houston. But let's start in the first round. Let's talk about some games here, right? Because there were.
We got to start with the big one.
We have to start with the big one?
Local team. We've shouted them out a few times, actually.
Dude, I was dying laughing. All right. So, let's talk about UMBC. So, first 16 seed to ever beat a one.
Yeah.
Right? Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. I forget what other game was on. I think it was the Syracuse game. I was watching that more because it's a 116 game. And it was like tied at the half, and I was like, okay, this happens a lot of the time with these 116 games. I didn't pay much attention.
Dude,
And then they got up to like a 17-point lead with like 15 minutes left, and I was like, okay, that's probably a glitch or something, you know?
Well,
and then I was watching like, no, oh my God.
What makes it so great, in my opinion, what made this game just absolutely amazing, in my opinion, is I always kind of thought, all right, well, whoever is the team that is the 16 that beats the one, they're going to hit this crazy, like, bank shot 3-pointer.
Yeah, win by
they
two.
They annihilated Virginia.
Decimated. I don't know how Virginia picks up the pieces after that. I mean, you get beat by 20 by a 16 seed.
Yeah, and that you weren't beat just because of an injury. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's not Purdue loses Haas for what looks like to be the tournament with a broken elbow. So they really struggle with Butler. I got ahead of myself. So let's, if you're looking at some of the first game of the tournament
was
Rhode Island,
Rhode Island
and Oklahoma went to overtime. Rhode Island pulled it out. I picked Rhode Island to win that game, but I really wanted Oklahoma. I want Big 12 to do.
Trey Young was like in that game was doing like everything he could to win that game.
Well, I mean this is why I knew Rhode Island was going to win that game is because a lot like the Marshall game last night, unless you have an elite NBA talented player like a Carmelo Anthony, mm-hmm. but even Carmelo Anthony when he was on Syracuse always has good players. Oklahoma doesn't necessarily.
He's the one and only.
Yeah. So it's like a defense will say, all right, well, we'll defend you and we'll get somebody else. That's exactly what West Virginia did to Marshall last night with that Elmore guy. Mm-hmm. So just looking at first round games that were close, Gonzaga struggled against UNC Greensboro, which is another reason why, when I hear Sebastian complaining about how Ohio State had to play Gonzaga in the second round, well, clearly Gonzaga is not viewed
as
great as they have been in the past. And if you see here, only a 4-point lead victory.
They struggle both of their games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they struggle with Ohio State, which I frankly, yes, they went 15-3 in the Big Ten. But again, how great was the Big Ten this year?
No, and you definitely saw that with Michigan State.
Yeah, y'all lose to Syracuse.
We barely beat Bucknell.
Yeah, Bucknell's a tough team, though.
Yeah, but then we lose Syracuse, and we shot 21% from three.
Yeah, Buffalo beats Arizona.
That was my national champion.
I know. When I saw that, I was pumped. I was like, ooh, Alex lost his national champion early. I mean, if you look at it right now, the South is completely done for me. I believe it's completely done for you as well.
Yeah, I did not hold it down there at the South.
The West, I only have an opportunity to get Gonzaga. You have an opportunity to get Michigan and Gonzaga in there. What other games? So I mean, the first day one was a little slow. You know, Texas Tech, Stephen F. Austin was a 10-point game.
Was the Miami Loyola game? Was that the first game of Thursday or Friday? I forgot.
I think that was Friday.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure though. You had Ohio State struggle against South Dakota State. Another reason, man. No
12 seeds advanced this year. I'm surprised.
But there were 3-4 seeds. I mean, 3-13.
Oh yeah.
The only 4 seed that won was Auburn. Right? Because you had... Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was only 2. It was...
Marshall and
Buffalo. And Marshall. And then they had a chance with UNC Greensboro almost beat. So, I mean, you know, people want to whine. And what I say, the Houston-San Diego State game was good. Kentucky-Davidson was good. Oh, Loyola and Miami was day one.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was a good game. I mean,
it's just been a great quality of games. There's not really been a stinker.
Yeah, Alabama-Virginia Tech was a good game. I'll be honest. I didn't see a lot of Thursday, right? Like, Thursday was – I mean, I saw some games here and there, bits and pieces. I saw a lot of the Rhode Island-Oklahoma game, but then I had to do stuff. And so it's like – I mean, I was all around. Friday was a good day, though. You know, you had Michigan State – barely beating Bucknell. Really good game. You had my West Virginia Mountaineers played, of course. That was nice. Marshall beating Wichita State. And it's so funny because I'm sitting here, you know, and Sebastian, I also didn't tell you, he was texting me during that game. He's like, oh, man, we're going to play Marshall. And I'm like, I'm not worried. I wasn't worried about Wichita State, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, people can sit here and complain about how easy the road is, right? But it wasn't designed that way.
Yeah,
okay, we played Murray State. We dominated them. Marshall beats Wichita State, which, according to Sebastian, is a team I should have worried about, you know, and I wasn't worried about Wichita State. And I'm telling you, after watching, I like to watch the games that affect us, right? So I watched the Villanova game yesterday. I watched the Marshall and who'd they play again? Oh, Wichita State. Marshall had one guy, and he had the game of his life against Wichita State. And I went in and, you know, I was talking to my girl Katie and she was like, you know, oh my God, that dude, you know, I was like, that, like, he's a good player, but some of the shots that he was hitting, did you watch any of the Marshall game?
A little bit, though.
Dude, some of the shots that Elmore dude was hitting were just like, okay, he was just throwing up prayers and he was feeling himself.
He's not going to do that again.
He's not going to do that again. I will say, shout out to UMBC on Friday night. That was kind of the icing on the cake cap. Auburn barely beat Charleston, you know. Clemson kind of struggled a little bit. Nevada and Texas was a good game. Providence and Texas A&M was a good game. And shout out to Texas A&M. A lot of people thought Providence were going to go kind of deep into this tournament. And Texas A&M weathers that storm and then comes right back and just absolutely embarrasses North Carolina. I do appreciate that this tournament currently is trying to weed out all the scumbag coaches. Izzo's out of there. Sean Miller's out of there. Roy Williams is gone.
When you get rid of his Coach K.
Dude, how embarrassing was Xavier Florida State?
I think the more embarrassing game was...
Was the Nevada game?
No. Yeah, Nevada, that's it.
Yeah, where Nevada came back from...
23 down or something?
Yeah, okay. I will give you that. That's pretty bad.
Well, the most embarrassing is obviously Virginia.
But I'll tell you, Xavier gets a chance to tie the game, and their dude has a point-blank, like, dead center three-point opportunity wide open, and he airballs it. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's see. So, yeah, so let's move on. Oh, and TCU Syracuse was a good game through the whole process. So, I love another thing I was talking to Sebastian about. Sebastian's going to listen to this show, and he's going to hate us forever. But that's fine.
You should put it in book format.
Is, yeah, like, he was talking about, like, yeah, I was like, oh, man, this TCU-Syracuse game's pretty good. And he's like, both teams are slow and boring. I said, it's a good game. Who cares? Like, to me.
Yeah, it was like when I was watching the K-State-UMBC game.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, that's a crappy game. Like, it's close.
Yeah.
Great defensive
game. So then we moved to Saturday, right? And Saturday, the first two games of the day were blowouts, which kind of sucked, right? Like, mm-hmm. All right. So here's my kind of beef, right, is you have two games throughout the day, right? And I understand you want to get your ratings later on, but it didn't make sense to me to have two earlier games. I understand you don't want to have the best games early, but why not put, you know, a game start at, like, why have all this clutter at nighttime, right? There should be more clutter in the day and then at nighttime. Now I get it. It's gamble.
It's prime time.
Though, because there were some games, like, if you know, I mean, there were games that I wanted to
watch. It's a Saturday night. People are going to stay up and watch it.
Yeah, but, like, I wanted to watch all of Houston, Michigan, right? I wanted to watch all of Gonzaga, Ohio State, Texas Tech, Florida. You know, these were all games that I really wanted
to watch the games.
I did, but you don't get to see all of them.
Why
like,
not?
Why? Because they're... Because you had one game starting at 6:10, and then you had a game starting at 6:40.
Oh, okay. So
and again,
you
want to
watch
one saying.
And not
yeah,
keep flipping around.
Exactly.
Okay, now I get it.
Which I had to sit and watch two games on Saturday afternoon. I watched both of those completely, and there were blowouts. They were snooze
fest.
Okay,
now I kind
of
get what
That's what I mean. Is like if they would have just like cluttered them a little bit more earlier and then had more of like a definitive late night and a definitive early night game. I don't know.
Well, I see what you're getting at.
But on Saturday,
I guess nowadays everybody just puts on split screen and watches multiple at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. To me, I like to, I mean, I was switching back and forth. And I mean, that's a cool part of the game and everything. You know, I watched a lot of the UMBC game last night until... I was just getting to the point, man. And that's the other thing is I was as a West Virginia fan, I understand that we're in San Diego, right? I get that, right? In hindsight, both those games in San Diego last night were blowouts, right? But they probably would have wanted to put the West Virginia Marshall game before the Auburn Clemson game.
Yeah. Is West Virginia Marshall a big rivalry or not?
Our biggest rival, in my opinion, it's Pitt, right? And then a battle for second place is between Marshall and Maryland. I'm from Maryland, so I'm a little biased towards that. I would say Maryland typically has a better football and a better basketball program than Marshall, so that's another reason why I would put them up there.
Okay, I just figured it was it's
interstate. Well, there was like 100-something years where Marshall didn't beat us in football. Granted, we didn't play every year, right? But there was a long time until they finally snapped that streak. We don't play them much in basketball. We used to play them every year in basketball, but then there was a lot of arguments about where the game should be played, and what was tending to happen was West Virginia, the better basketball team, would have to travel to a neutral site that was more in the favor of Marshall, and it just got a little, you know. I thought I heard Dan D'Antoni, the coach of Marshall, he's... the other D'Antoni's brother.
Mike D'Antoni?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not know that.
I did not know it either. Let me look that up to be specific.
A second or two, they're going to say D'Antonio.
But yeah, there were some good games, man. That Houston-Michigan game.
That
I mean, you know, and I was looking forward to it. You know, hopefully to get you guys out of there. Where is it?
I know your favorite whipping boy is the Big Ten, but
yeah.
I've always been, even though I'm not a Michigan fan, I've always had a lot of respect for Beeline and what he's been able to do with that
scumbag
program. Well, he didn't do anything.
That program stole both of our coaches in two consecutive years.
Oh, Rich Rod?
But you know who was before Rich Rod? Beeline.
Beeline. Oh, I didn't know that. But
it's all right. I think Huggins is a better coach. Facts.
I know, but what he's done with that program, where like they had to, they were just in shambles after the whole Fab Five scandal, and what he's been able to do. I've always had a tremendous respect for Beeline.
I agree. I think he's a good coach. I think we won out on the Bob Huggins tip, man. Javon Carter is, dude. He had 28, 5, and 5 last night. 28 points, nice. 5 assists, 5 steals. Game one, he had 21, 6, 5, and 5. Like, he's just, it's his last go-around. And he said in his interview post-game last night, well, I guess early this morning, he was like, this is my last ride, so we're here. And that's another reason.
Is he a
reason.
Senior or is he going pro?
He's a senior.
Okay.
I don't know if he's going to go pro.
I meant like.
Yeah. He's a senior. And I'll tell you something, man. He has been shining greatly. Dax Miles. See, they're the most experienced backcourt in the tournament. Dax Miles Jr. and Javon Carter. Javon Carter has been balling out of control. Dax Miles kind of takes a back seat to that. But he hit some big shots last night. I know it's kind of hard. I mean, we were up by almost like 40 at one point. I mean, it was people who went to San Diego last night, by the like halftime of our game in San Diego last night, there was barely anyone in the stands. And I think it's because they literally watched a 40-point beatdown of Bruce Pearl on his birthday, another scumbag coach that's out of the system now. Man, oh man. But Saturday, you know, a 1-point game, a 6-point game, a 3-point game, you know, you got, there was a lot of good stuff. And then, so Saturday you had the early games that were boring, the late games were all cluttered and good, right? Then we fast forward
to Sunday,
and the earlier games were good. The two early games were
Syracuse, Michigan State,
and Butler and Purdue.
Can I talk a little bit about the... By all means. If you watch that game, I don't know what Izzo was doing. We were shot 21% from three. We shot like 37 threes. It was not once did he try to go to the net. Even after... This was like the first half they weren't hitting anything.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you got to just give up on that and stop and just drive. And it was like, if you're not Steph Curry, don't do that crap. The shooting was horrible. We shot like 25%. We would just settle for jump shots, even mid-range jumpers, and everything was bricking. That team was overrated. Like, I know you're going on to Sebastian. And, like, I wasn't surprised at all that they lost. I wasn't upset at all because I saw it coming.
Well, you know, the thing is, you look at it and you see only four teams made it in the Big Ten.
Nizzo's got a lot of work.
Michigan wins a last second shot.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue wins by three in a struggle game. And they lost their I think Purdue's the strongest team out of the Big Ten.
Definitely.
But they lost
Michigan.
They lost their center. But then you look at the other two teams. You look at Ohio State, who was in the Gonzaga game. I don't know
shouldn't
who that's more. Seat. What?
Shouldn't be a four
seat. Well, I don't know who's more glaring on that one. I mean, that's the thing is.
I think it's Michigan State. I mean, Gonzaga's a good team. They lost. But Syracuse, they should have, on paper, they should have been able to beat them.
Well, no. I meant like in – so – it's funny because when Gonzaga was struggling in their first round, you didn't hear anything from Sebastian about how good Gonzaga is. But then when they play Ohio State, I just like, to me, sometimes you get a bad roll. Like, sometimes you get, you know, I mean, I don't think Virginia thought that UMBC was going to be that good, you know, and I don't typically think that UMBC is that good, but sometimes you run into good teams. And I just think Gonzaga, the reason why they've been higher seeds in the past recent years is they've had these big dudes, right?
Yeah.
And they're not that team anymore. And they're a mid-major. Like, that's the thing is, like, they still, you know, I was trying to tell Sebastian about this, is like, they're still in the West Coast Conference, which has two teams, St. Mary's and them. No one else cares. And they probably have been overrated some years. This year they're a four seed. Makes sense to me. And I'm sorry. I understand y'all went 15-3 in the Big Ten. And I understand that, but the Big Ten, clearly the tournament committee looked at the Big Ten and said, yeah, they're not that good this year.
And look at us. People were complaining that we only lost like four games in the regular season. We should be ranked higher than a three seed. And I wasn't surprised at all. We lost twice.
I thought y'all were overrated.
Yeah, I thought we were overrated too. I wasn't surprised at all that we lost this game. I could just tell that we missed our last 14 shots.
Yeah.
We missed a lot of free throws.
Well, I'll tell you, the conferences right now that are putting on.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, finish.
And like we get like this NBA talent with Miles Bridges, and probably we got Jackson, and we're probably going to get Nick Ward gone. And the best they can do is get us just to the round of 32. Well, I would rather have like the 4-year guys like Kalen Lucas, who are stuck playing in Europe somewhere right now.
Aaron Harris,
yeah. And who can get us to the Final Four, the national championship, but rather have these NBA talent guys who can't get us past the first weekend.
Well, what I think what happens is and I've heard a couple people speak on this, is the whole like, this is the big stage, so you have the NBA-style players being like, well, forget the team, let me just have a good game. You know, and then they get caught up into isolation ball, or they get caught up into
trying. That's what Bridges was doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the same thing happens with Kentucky. If you look at, I mean, that John Wall Kentucky team should have beat West Virginia. West Virginia had one person. That was it. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that it is. But I will say, the three conferences right now that should be held in the highest regard, and you can see how well they're doing in the tournament, is you have the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Texas A&M just
decimated
North Carolina, the defending champs. I mean, you know, it's so funny, you know, when I told Sebastian, oh, yeah, we got four, and he's like, first off, you got three, and I was like, no, we got this team, and then he talks about the cakewalks, and you talk about the cakewalks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kansas State was a 9 seed, right? They had to play Creighton. Not a bad team.
Nope.
They beat Creighton. Not their fault UMBC beat Virginia.
And UMBC is, like, even watch that game against K-State. They UMBC's struggled. Defense was amazing.
Yeah, but
they
like,
hit the ball well,
but
they
like, you can't sit there. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say Ohio State wins their game and UNC Greensboro beats Gonzaga, and then Ohio State beats UNC Greensboro. You still get to a Sweet 16. It's
yeah,
not
Sweet 16
your
is
fault.
A Sweet 16.
But that's what I'm saying. He's like, oh, cakewalk. So that's one team, right? And then you had Kansas. Kansas had to play Penn. They were one overall seed. But then they play Seton Hall, not a walkover, and they played a good game against them. Texas Tech. Texas Tech had to play Stephen F. Austin, which is a team that I know very well because
they
slaughtered West Virginia a couple years ago. And then they had to play Florida. Like, and okay, yes, West Virginia played Murray State, which Murray State, fun fact of the day, had the second longest winning streak in college basketball.
Yeah, it was like, what,
going
5 years
into
ago?
That. No, this year.
Oh, this year.
They had the second longest winning streak in college basketball going into the West Virginia game, and West Virginia handled them. West Virginia handled both the teams. Don't get mad at us, man. You know, and then Jimmy's a Maryland guy, so.
He's probably, well, I don't care.
Yeah. Loyola Chicago is clearly the ones that
they're the Cinderella team.
Dude, I'm telling you. But I'll tell you, last night, the UMBC game, like, UMBC was America's team up until.
Yeah, man, I wanted them to win.
Now it's Loyola Chicago with the 98-year-old chaplain lady.
Yeah, yeah,
and
they're definitely riding the media, darling. They're going to try to be the next VCU or George Mason. But that's what you want, though, in these games. You don't really want to see North Carolina and Kentucky and Duke and the same teams every year. You want to see, like, a Loyola Chicago or a UMBC, you want to, or a Nevada, you want to see different teams. That makes, that's what makes the tournament so fun.
Well, again, say Nevada, you know, Nevada beats Cincinnati, so Nevada now plays Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, so you're going to get one Cinderella team in the Elite Eight.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, but do we dog Nevada because the cards have fallen right for them? No. Like, that's... You know, that's just a sour mentality. And I was getting on him. Did I text you at all this past weekend?
No. And if you trashed my team, I'd have been like, you're absolutely right. You were overrated.
But my thing is, I don't try and salt your wounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, we'll talk about it. I think you know. You'll be harder than I will. But, you know, when you're hitting my phone up, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So
well, I remember I did when it was during the football season. You guys were playing the Rams and, like, Mariota's very first pass, he throws an interception. I was like, man, I don't know why you're so hard on Mariota.
But that was like a, you know, I'm just saying, man, Ohio State sucks is I think what we're getting down to it at the end of the day. Yes. They probably shouldn't have been in the tournament, just like in college football.
You should have read more books.
Yeah, that, you know, that's if they studied game tape and read about the fundamentals of basketball.
Or just read books about how to get tattoos.
You know? Yeah. He's gonna come back in a few weeks and just be like, rawr. He's gonna spend like 20 minutes complaining about something. What has been your best game so far?
Oh, obviously Virginia UMBC. It's hands down.
I think Virginia UMBC.
Or even
was,
the UMBC Kansas State game was fun, even though it was terrible offense.
Yeah. Well, I kept telling people the whole time, the Virginia UMBC game, I mean the UMBC Kansas State game, I was like, it's low scoring and it's ugly. This is going in UMBC's favor.
Yeah, they had, like, if you watch that game, they had like a bunch of opportunities to take the lead. Like every time they got to like 1 point deficit,
yeah,
they always would just hit a wall.
I would say Nevada Cincinnati.
Yeah,
22-point comeback.
But you got to go with the historic one.
Yes.
I mean, even though it was a 20-point beatdown.
I was astonished, Alex. My jaw was dropped. And that's why I kept telling people yesterday, as I was like, it's not that it was a great game. It's just because of the way it went down and the history behind it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what? You know?
Now, serious question. Do you think that they could make another run next year?
UMBC.
I was really impressed by their defense. Or
I don't know. It's tough because
they were just a little bit close from being the Sweet 16.
Well, yeah, but if you look at it, like they play in Vermont was the number one team in their league this year, and they beat Vermont on a buzzer beater in their tournament just to get in. And Vermont's actually a pretty
They've made the tournament before,
so maybe. They could. I mean, they got. I think a lot of their guys aren't even seniors either.
Yeah, I wonder if their coach, now that he got that upset, it's going to be like what the guy at Florida Gulf Coast. Like he's going to get a look at Division One now.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thing because they're talking about how UMBC released and they said something that's reasonable to us will offer, like something in their realm, will offer him a contract. All right. So now looking forward to Thursday or Friday, I think personally, and no offense to anybody, but I think Friday has the better matchups, and that's just because it's the side that didn't break down the most. You know, Thursday's the side of the bracket that is just, I mean, you have, Loyola, Chicago, Nevada, Texas A&M, Michigan, Kansas State, Kentucky, Florida State, Gonzaga. I mean, if you're looking at it, right? Florida State, if this game, if Florida State played the game that they did the other night and then two nights from now got to play Gonzaga,
they'd be national champions.
They might have a chance, but they have a whole week.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga has a whole week to fix what just went on with their two strugglesome games, right? So I'm probably going to lean towards Gonzaga on that one. Kansas State, as much as I want them to continue and move forward as much as possible, they legitimately had a very strugglesome.
Yeah, they're not going to be Kentucky. Right? They were like, if
Kentucky struggled too, but I just think Kentucky is that much bigger, that much more athletic, and I think they're going to win.
Yeah, if UMBC was on fire, they would have lost that game.
The game of the night, in my opinion, is probably Texas A&M Michigan.
I go with the Cinderella game.
Okay, so you want Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. I mean, That's fine.
Which one's going to emerge?
That's fine.
Everybody's going to want Loyola because they got the 98-year-old woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think Michigan, Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M has, you know, again, going back to the first round and squeezing it out against Providence and then moving on to North Carolina and what they did to North Carolina. They're just going to... Florida State kind of came back from down and then just Xavier kind of collapsed on themselves, where Texas A&M put on a clinic. So I think that has a little bit better of a chance of bringing over. And for my bracket's sake against you, I hope Michigan loses this game. I'm in Loyola, Chicago, Nevada. Friday night. Clemson and Kansas. I mean, who knows? Yeah. You know, Clemson.
It's not going to be a lot different if it was football.
It would be a lot different. Probably the game of the night, though. I think Texas Tech and Purdue could be game of the night if they had their player.
Yeah.
I think it has a chance. I think game of the night, hands down, is Villanova, West Virginia. I think West Virginia needs to be taken seriously, and that's not just because I'm a West Virginia fan.
I got you guys in the Elite Eight. I got you guys beating them.
Yeah, I mean, and dude, the way it's breaking down. Look,
if Villanova, besides their championship two years ago, they never really go that far.
If people want to sit here and act like the hard, to me, the East and the Midwest are the two hardest routes to the Final Four. Right now.
Yeah.
Right? I would argue that the East is harder. Because Duke has Syracuse, and then Kansas has Clemson. Right? But if you look at all the four teams left in the East, Texas Tech, Purdue, Texas Tech finished second in the Big 12. Purdue, did they win the Big 10?
No. Michigan won the tournament, and Michigan State won the regular season.
But Purdue was like top two?
Yeah, top two, okay. Something like that.
So you got Purdue, Texas Tech was second in the Big 12, West Virginia was third in the Big 12, and Villanova is, you know.
Yeah.
Villanova very much lives and dies by the three, and I just think if West Virginia can get them out of there, they're going to have to. I think we're a good matchup for everything. I think we're a good matchup against Purdue now, especially since that guy's out, but even if that guy was in, Sagaba Kanate is just a beast. Oh, man, it's the perfect time of year. All right, let's move on to the NFL. Ravens. Ryan Grant failed his physical. And then they
not
got...
Not Ryan Grant that...
No, he was a wide receiver for the Redskins. But the Ravens get Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, didn't they pick up somebody else?
And John Brown,
that was it.
Who, if many of y'all are my age, you remember this show on VH1 called The White Rapper Show, whereas this guy was John Brown, who made it into the finals and got screwed over by the judges and ended up finishing in second place to a guy named Shamrock with a cleft lip.
That's his full name? Or just Shamrock?
That was his, that. I mean, that's what he went by. John Brown was the king of the burbs. Hallelujah, holla back.
Is he still rapping? Or?
Oh, I would imagine he might have coasted off that.
Like a rapping like a Slim Jesus?
Or? Dude, oh no. Slim Jesus would come in and own that competition nowadays. Frank Block. Yeah, so Ravens get Crabtree, makes things look a little bit better.
Their MO again, once getting old receivers.
Dude, straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up. But you know what? I will say, if there's any team that is very good at getting old receivers, it's them.
The Ravens.
I mean, Anquan Boldin had some years. Derek Mason.
Steve Smith had a decent year, too.
The only one that I can remember the two guys that really didn't do much when they got here was Lee Evans and Hujimama.
I don't even know he played for the Ravens.
Hushmanzada?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was here for like a year or two. Nah, he was here. He was there as well.
Mm. Oh, and Mike Wallace. He hasn't really done much, has he?
Yeah, Mike Wallace.
Of course, he was never really much that much.
Yeah, and he wasn't that, like, I don't consider him in that same group, even though he probably should be. But I didn't consider him one decent year. Yeah, like, see, like Mason and, like, Anquan, they were, like, guys that you can just, and they're, like, guys that you can just trust to catch the ball, where Mike Wallace was brought in to just bring the top off, you know. So that's that. The Jets get the third overall pick. They trade.
Oh, yeah, they traded.
They swap picks with the Colts, and then they give them 3 second-round picks, 2 this year and 1 next year. Which, as a Titans fan, I'm not all that happy, because that means the Colts get 3, you know. They get 4 picks in the first 2 rounds.
Nice.
Not too bad for them. But, again, they're dealing with some weird issues where, you know, Andrew Luck's going to, like, North Korea to get special surgery.
All I'm saying is, man, Jim Mersey can hook him up with some meds.
You know,
come on, Jim. Don't hog it all for yourself.
The feds is watching, though. Danny Woodhead retires. How much do you care?
Hey, white running back.
He was a flex position, okay? Let's be real.
He hustles. He dives for fumbles.
So we should play the...
The what?
The trumpet when people die.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Another one bites the dust after, what, 6-year career or whatever it was.
So of hustling and playing the game the right way.
Playing it how it's supposed to be played.
Diving
I miss the old days.
Diving for loose balls.
Dude, in sports talk radio, you always get that call. It's like an old guy, and you just like it. It takes a special Spidey sense to know that it's going to turn racist. And some of them are pretty good. They're like, and they catch him in time. But it's like, he'll be like, you know, I just miss the good old days where they knew what was right, and they played their butts off, and and then all of a sudden they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, and the cotton, you know, and then they finally loses, and like, oh, we got to drop the call, you know, like.
They always say the black players have, quote unquote, natural athletic ability.
He's a grinder. Vinny Curry's going to the Bucks. Super Bowl champion Vinny Curry is going to the Bucks.
Didn't the Lions pick up LeGarrette Blount?
Did they?
I believe they did.
Did they? Let's take a look.
Could be wrong.
Is he going to be your number one running back?
Yeah, because Abdullah's not cutting it. But then again, I don't know who could cut it with that offensive line.
Okay.
Let us look.
Oh, Matt Barkley's going to the Bengals, everybody.
remember that team was ranked number one? The USC team?
Oh, yeah, Matt Barkley. My internet's not working for me. So, in the meantime, the Pats are trying to trade for Cordarrelle Patterson. Typically doesn't worry me, except for the fact that for some odd reason, they know that... they know how to make people's careers better, and he was supposed to—he was a top-level talent that just never panned out. So a little worried about that. The Texans got the Honey Badger, and the Lions got LeGarrette Blount.
That means we're going to the Super Bowl then.
Yeah, is that the only reason?
I guess so. Or that is going to punch opposing players in the face.
Hey, either way, that's a good pickup.
That's gonna be a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm psyched.
Let's see. Bashaud Breeland. Failed his physical. What an idiot. Let's see. Ed Dixon goes to the Seahawks. Tavon Austin. Okay. All right, so he's staying put. A lot of people thought that he was going to be moving.
He didn't really do anything last year either.
He's always been a guy. He needs to be more like a Christian McCaffrey. Not in white.
The game the right
as
way
in, no, no. As in, like...
The good old days.
That's what they need to do with him. He's a running back / wide receiver. He's a guy that you just need to get the ball in his hands. And no team has ever really figured out a proper way. He always has, like, a game a season.
Like one game a
year. Yeah, but it's
here.
Stupid. Like, I hate that they do that. It's dumb to me. It's dumb to me. Yeah, what do you know about Raiders Raiders got Jordy Nelson and Doug Martin.
Ooh, that's a big pickup.
Redskins re-signing Zach Brown. Very smart idea, too. Austin Severian Jenkins is now a Jacksonville Jag. Dontari Poe with the Panthers. Okay.
Eifert staying. It hurts when Eifert.
I think free agency's been kind of crazy so far, if I'm being honest with you.
Brown, how about the Browns making – how about Sebastian's Browns making some moves? They might win, like, you know, 3-4 games this year.
He thinks they're automatically the second-best team in the league. And I said, yeah, on paper, but, like
– seriously? He thinks they're going to be, like, what, playoff contenders? Or is he – how good does he think?
Well, I think the AFC North and the AFC South are trending opposite directions. I think the AFC South is going to – like, the AFC South could have – be like the old AFC North where you have a division winner and two wild cards coming out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Jags.
That division would be tough. You got the Jags and
– the Titans.
Watson's coming back.
You got Deshaun Watson coming back. Maybe Andrew Luck comes back.
I don't see that.
No. I don't see that either. I mean, I don't see them being great, but like say, you know, I'm just saying there's three quality teams and a question mark there. I thought the Titans should have probably tried to go out and get the Honey Badger, but it is what it is. He's probably off the team for a reason, you know. Malcolm Butler and Deion Lewis are just, they make me giddy. And it says Ndamukong Suh's going to be, the Titans are on his list.
Good. Have fun with him. Whenever he starts stomping, he hasn't been doing it lately, but when he starts stomping.
Bring us back to the Albert Haynesworth days, my dude. Where do you think Ndamukong Suh learned that stuff? a mixture between Albert Haynesworth and Marcus Vick, all right?
God, Marcus Vick.
Who knew Marcus was the more well-behaved one?
Wait, no, he wasn't. You didn't hear the stuff he got in trouble with?
He stomped on people.
He got in a sexual assault allegation.
Really?
Yeah, Marcus Vick, yeah.
When?
It was like a year or so before the whole Michael Vick situation.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, look it up.
Dang, Mike, you set him up. Michael Vick set him up, man. Ron Mexico or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Ron Mexico with the marijuana water bottle.
All right, NBA time. I agree, man. Look, college basketball is, and I know Jimmy doesn't agree with
this. And this is why, I mean, I guess I could show, I'm no surprise to anybody who actually listens to this show, but I don't really care about the NBA. I think this is why, because March Madness has so much upsets and excitement, and then you get to the NBA where, like, especially at the playoffs, it's pretty much who you expect.
But here's the deal, right? And this is the question I have for you today, right? So if you're looking at it, first seed in the East right now is 52-18. The eighth seed is 37-33.
Inches
right
behind are the Pistons.
Only, yeah, seven games back, something like that. Yeah. So you have that, right? So that's 52-18, 37-33. If you look at the Western Conference, 56-14 is at the top. 40-31 is the eighth seed, right? Is the East making a bit of a comeback? Now, I caveat that with saying that most people still automatically think that the Cavs will be going to the finals.
That's what I say. I think I need to see something in the playoffs.
But do you think the East is making... They're structuring some decent teams in the East right now. The Bucks are a decent team.
I know, but like I said, when it's been the same guy, LeBron James, the last 7 years...
I agree. But I mean,
proof in the playoffs.
But does that make the AFC not that good?
No, because it's not been the Patriots every year. I mean, you had the
it's
Broncos.
It's been close.
Close, but you had the Broncos in 15. You even had the Ravens make it 1 year. You have at least some variety.
Yeah. I think the East, I agree. I don't think it's not on the West level. Right, mm-hmm. But it used to be like the first four teams were above 500,
and then yeah,
and then like five, seed, like yeah, exactly. Games. So like, I do think there is a bonus into this level is that It was funny. Last week we talked about the Pacers continuing their great season in third place, and then they lost a couple games, and now they're all the way down to. But I'll tell you, I think the Wizards have one of the more preferential. I mean, I think the Raptors playing the Heat is smart, but dude, the Celtics and the Bucks, tough. Cavs and Sixers, tough. Wizards and Pacers, I'll take that. I'll take that nonstop. Mm-hmm. That's a good matchup. Also, how confident are you in saying that it will be Cavs Golden State?
I'll say because they haven't been so good this year as they have usually been. I'll say like 70%, but I'm still like.
Because I mean,
pretty sure.
You know, Cavs in theory are gonna go against. It's gonna be them. And if it ended today, them and the Sixers, which they should be able to take care of. And then them and the Raptors,
which they should be able to take care of. And it'll probably be them and the Celtics, which I think they'll be able to take care of that.
But then it will go down to the Western Conference, man, because the Western Conference takes you to on a different road, man. You know, I think.
Well, okay, the Rockets are in first place, but you said it multiple times. Harden and Paul are the great losers.
Agreed. I'm not worried about that, but Golden State will have to go up against the Spurs first round.
Well, the Spurs, is Leonard still hurt?
No. Well, he will be coming back soon, but he'll be back by the playoffs. Oh, okay. So that's something that you might want to worry about, right?
We've handled them before.
Agreed.
I'm going by what we've
but
seen.
But you got to realize this, the Warriors have had a lot of injury issues this year, and that's something that needs to be thought about, discussed.
I know, talk to me in the playoffs. We always hear, like, well, there's these problems, or they're not getting along.
Agreed. But so you would say 70%.
70%.
I think we're looking at about 63.27%.
Very specific.
Yes. I'm really 60%. I'll say 60%. 60.
I don't know. Like I said, when it's been the same guy 7 years... It's going to take a lot of convincing.
I agree, man, but I think the Cavs will probably make it, but I don't know if Golden State can just because of what they're going to have to go through. It's a gauntlet. But we shall see. Alex, MLB time.
Yeah, it's coming up in just, like, what, less than 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I mean, it starts 28th, 29th, something like that.
Yep. Ron Gardner leading the Tigers to another mediocre season.
Okay. All right. You should get that kid from Little Big League.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Judge tries to recruit Manny Machado. I personally like to think, I have a belief that if the Orioles were sane in their head, Manny Machado would have been traded by now, and he probably would be a Yankee. I have a feeling the Yankees have put some decent deals on the table, but the Orioles just don't want to listen to them because they're the Yankees. But in doing that, there's been a bunch of inaction of actually going out and trying to get a starter. Alex Cobb is still out there. Alex Cobb is AL East tried and tested. If you're able to work a deal out with Alex Cobb, right? Mm-hmm. Your starting rotation is Dylan Bundy, Kevin Gausman, Cashner, Cobb, and then Chris Tillman or whoever else you want to put in there, right? Am I missing somebody?
No, that's right.
There's not a
Bundy,
okay.
Tillman.
Bundy, Gausman, Cashner. Okay, yeah, so that makes you a starting rotation that at least can't be laughed at. And if you're not going to trade Manny Machado and you have this 1 year, this one shot, this one opportunity, mom spaghetti moment, right?
What to say.
What are you doing?
I guess it's more of just bad ownership.
It's Ubaldo. It's a mixture between Ubaldo and the unwillingness to trade with the Yankees. And honestly, if we were in a position where we are able to trade Machado and still be a contender, I can understand not wanting him going to the Yankees. But we're not going to be a contender. We're not going to be a contender this year. The Orioles will be...
Well, they probably think they're contenders.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Like Ken Holland does with the Wings.
They will be 500, maybe a little bit over, at absolute best. Bundy, Gausman, Cashner, not worried about. Tillman, coming off of what Tillman turned into, plus whoever, Mike Wright. I mean, have we not experienced Mike Wright enough in our life?
Oh, don't forget Ryan Flaherty.
Ryan Flaherty's not on the team anymore.
Oh, never mind.
He's a Philly.
Who's going to hustle for the team and, you know, play the game?
That's another stupid thing. That is another thing. They're thinking Danny Valencia is going to be that answer, but he only plays like two positions. Ryan Flaherty played every position. They're actually, what I've heard is the Orioles are hoping that Flaherty gets cut by the Phillies, and so they can get him back.
Just pick him up.
Yeah, so.
He's your Don Kelly.
Dude, he's a beast. I will say that. We get Clayton Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner to start off the season, though. That's a good matchup.
When is that game?
That's the first Sunday night baseball. Well, I think it's Sunday night baseball, but it's going to be on like a Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. And it's not going to be like at Japan or somewhere like they usually do?
I don't know. Why are you asking all these questions?
That's what they usually do during opening day. There's always like one game in like Japan or like Mexico or some odd location.
Are you excited for the new season?
Not as a Tigers fan. Everyone's predicting them to be dead last.
Are you excited for just a baseball fan?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I agree, man. I'll be.
How you guys have looked spring training?
We've looked great in spring training, but that doesn't matter to me. Yeah. That doesn't matter to me. You have your starting pitcher goes 2 1/3. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I don't.
You don't really pay attention.
No. I to me, I'm worried, right? Because now we're at the point where we're a week and some change away from going to the regular season of baseball, right? And if we even go out and get a pitcher, it's going to be a delayed start. Like I think they've been so mismanaged. They should have been getting rid of Machado at last year during the trade deadline. You get rid of him then, you get as much as you can, mm-hmm. and then you had a half a year to see what you got there. I understand not wanting to go into full rebuild mode, right? I understand that. But you can do a partial rebuild. I just don't see. I see the Yankees and Boston at the very least being better than the Orioles this year.
Especially the Yankees.
And then you go and you look at it, you know, let's say, you know, Toronto has a decent year. You know, I'm like, I just don't see the Orioles having that great of a year. I just don't.
Better than the Tigers.
Yeah, but what's that saying nowadays? You know what I'm saying? We own the Tigers.
Yeah, you do.
Jabba Chamberlain, my man.
Yep.
Someone they were talking about on one of the radio stations I listened to driving in, they were talking about biggest upset you've ever seen with your own eyes, right? Talking about the UMBC or whatever. This guy called in and was like, in 2014, when we played the Detroit Tigers,
that was not an upset.
I mean, it was an upset in the fact that you guys had a good starting rotation, but and your starting rotation killed us.
Now our bullpen, we imploded.
I agree, Alex. I don't think he's right, but
oh my god,
I also think the miracle on ice is a bit overhyped.
No, it's not.
It is.
The political importance.
Yeah, of course. That's what makes it even more dumb, in my opinion.
We beat that was a Soviet team that had won like the last four Olympics or
something. Cool.
You had a bunch of college amateur kids together. Didn't you see that movie?
Yeah, Matt? Kurt Russell was amazing.
Yes.
You know what annoyed me about seeing that movie? At the end, people stood up and clapped like you didn't know what was happening.
It's it's an emotional.
Do you believe in miracle? I just, it's stupid. All right, it's dumb.
You just hate America, Matt.
No, I don't. I don't hate America. You hate America and you hate I think military. Any Olympic stuff is dumb. Man, don't quit putting this on me, okay? Because then this is how we don't get listened.
It feels uncomfortable when you look at watches the national anthem or looks at the American flag. You just feel uncomfortable.
No, 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 like, no, can you do that somewhere else, guys? No. Hey, okay.
Make me uncomfortable.
I just don't know where to go with this now.
Why can't things just be like they used to, Matt?
We are this, yeah.
Playing the game the right way, diving for loose balls. Why don't we just do that again?
Tyler Hansbrough should be the greatest NBA player in the history of basketball.
Grayson Allen has great potential. Grayson Allen. He's just because he has a little bit of an attitude problem.
He's a scumbag. He's white privilege on the basketball court. I'm just going to suspend him indefinitely, like, and then he misses a game, and then it's like, all right, we're going to bring him back.
Remember that guy from Ole Miss who was big for like 1 year? Basketball? I forget his name. You know, he was kind of like a problem child like Grayson Allen. I forget his name. It was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Oh, I know Chad Kelly. Jim Kelly's son. He was a football player, though.
No, this is basketball. It was like something Jackson.
Austin.
I forget his name. But he was kind of like a Grayson Allen.
Okay. All right. Well, Alex, let's do this. Are you ready?
What are we doing?
Well, we're just going to sit here and discuss division picks.
Oh, we're doing it already? Okay.
Well, we got some time right here. And, you know, if we forget to do it next week, then we're in the season. So... we're going to put Alex over here. We're going to put Matt over here. Division picks plus a wild card. Okay. Two wild cards, sorry.
All right. AL East, I'm going to go with the Yankees.
All right.
AL Central, I'm going to say the Indians again. And then the American League West... I'm going to go with the Astros again, actually.
All right. And then two?
And then the wild cards. I'm going to say the Rays make it this time. And Red Sox.
All right. I'll do mine first. I'm going to take the New York Yankees to win the division. I'm going to take... the Cleveland Indians, of course. And I have to say Houston as well. I just think those are three really tough teams. Now, my wild cards, all right? My wild cards, Alex, are going to be... I'll take the Boston Red Sox. And I'm going to take the Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
All right? That's that. All right. I almost took the Tigers, but
stop.
All right, on the other side.
Okay. Nationals, NL East. Yeah, I got to go with the Cubs in the Central. And you know what? I'll go a little bit upset, not to make it too predictable. I'm going to say the Diamondbacks take the AL West.
All right.
And then wild cards. Let me see. I say the Rockies and Dodgers.
All right. I'm going to take... should I take the Marlins, Alex?
Oh, God. I know you're going to rub that in.
I'm going to take
hey, Jeets is coming back?
Jeets. I'm going to take the Nationals. I'm going to take the Milwaukee Brewers to win their division this year, and I'm going to take the Dodgers to win their division. And then we're going to go and have the Cubs as a wild card, and we're going to have the Diamondbacks. I feel pretty confident in those. I think I mixed it up a little bit, Milwaukee and Kansas City, but I just feel like there's going to be some parity somewhere. And I'm sure the parity is really going to be like Boston will win the division, the Yankees will get the wild card, but there's got to be something to mix it up. Maybe the Detroit Tigers. You never know.
No.
Alex?
No. Miguel Cabrera is like 35 years old. He's washed up. We're still keeping Victor Martinez for some reason.
Victor.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say to the children?
Just hustle, die for loose balls, just play the game the right way.
This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I've been Matt Trudell.
Loose ball diver Alex Baker.
And until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.